Topic 106, Love. 1. When love for all beings, irrespective of who they may be, is beginning to be a realized fact in the heart of the disciple, and yet nevertheless love for himself exists not, then comes the indication that he is nearing the portal of initiation, and may make the necessary preliminary pledges. These are necessitated before his master hands in his name as candidate for initiation. If he cares not for the suffering and pain of the lower self, if it is immaterial to him whether happiness comes his way or not, if the sole purpose of his life is to serve and save the world, and if his brother's need is for him of greater moment than his own, then is the fire of love radiating his being, and the world can warm itself at his feet. This love has to be a practical, tested manifestation, and not just a theory, nor simply an impractical ideal and a pleasing sentiment. It is something that has grown in the trials and tests of life, so that the primary impulse of the life is towards self-sacrifice and the immolation of the lower nature. From Initiation, Human and Solar, pages 192 through 193. 2. A treatise could be written on the subject, love, and yet leave it unexhausted. Much light comes if we can ponder deeply on the three expressions of love: love in the personality, love in the ego, and love in the monad. Love in the personality gradually develops through the stages of love of self, pure and simple and entirely selfish, to love of family and friends, to love of men and women, until it arrives at the stage of love of humanity, or group love consciousness, which is the predominant characteristic of the ego. A master of compassion loves, suffers with, and remains with his kind and with his kin. Love in the ego gradually develops from love of humanity into universal love, a love that expresses not only love of humanity, but also love of the Deva evolutions in their totality and of all forms of divine manifestation. Love in the personality is love in the three worlds. Love in the ego is love in the solar system and all that it contains, while love in the monad demonstrates a measure of cosmic love and embraces much that is outside the solar system altogether. From A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 593. 3. Love was the impelling motive for manifestation, and love it is that keeps all in ordered sequence. Love bears all on the path of return to the Father's bosom, and love eventually perfects all that is. From A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 594. 4. As evolution proceeds, it shows itself as a gradual expansion of the love faculty, passing through the stages of love of mate, love of family, love of surrounding associates, to love of one's entire environment. Patriotism gives place later to love of humanity, often humanity as exemplified in one of the great ones. From A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 595. 5. A man in service learns the power of love in its occult significance. He spends and consequently receives. He lives the life of renunciation, and the wealth of the heavens pours in on him. He asks nothing for himself and is the richest man on earth. From A Treatise on White Magic, page 117. 6. This energy of love is primarily concentrated for purposes of hierarchical activity in the new group of world servers. This group, composed as it is of all world disciples and all working initiates, finds its representatives in every group of idealists and servers, and in every body of people who express human thought, particularly in the realm of human betterment and uplift. Through them, the potency of love wisdom can express itself. These people are frequently misunderstood, for the love which they express differs widely from the sentimental, affectionate, personal interest of the average worker. They are occupied mainly with the interests and the good of the whole group with which they may be associated. They are not primarily concerned with the petty interests of the individual, occupied with his little problems and concerns. This brings such a server under the criticism of the individual, and with this criticism they must learn to live, and to it they must pay no attention. True group love is of more importance than personal relationships, though those are met as need arises. Note, I say, need. Disciples learn to grasp the need of group love and to amend their ways in conformity with group good, but it is not easy for the self-interested individual to grasp the difference. Through the medium of those disciples who have learned the distinction between the petty concerns of the individual plus his interest in himself and the necessities and urgencies of group work and love, the hierarchy can work and so bring about the needed world changes, which are primarily changes in consciousness. From The Destiny of Nations, pages 20 through 21. 7. Love for many people, for the majority indeed, is not really love, but a mixture of the desire to love and the desire to be loved, plus a willingness to do anything to show and evoke this sentiment, and consequently to be more comfortable in one's own interior life. It is this pseudo-love, based primarily on a theory of love and service, which characterizes so many human relationships, such as those existing, for instance, between husband and wife, parents and their children, glamored by their sentiment for them and knowing little of the love of the soul, which is free itself and leaves others free also. They wander in a dense fog, often dragging with them the ones they desire to serve in order to draw forth a responsive affection. Study the word affection, my brother, and see its true meaning. Affection is not love. It is that desire which we express through an exertion of the astral body, and this activity affects our contacts. It is not spontaneous desirelessness of the soul, which asks nothing for the separated self. This glamour of sentiment imprisons and bewilders all the nice people in the world, imposing upon them obligations which do not exist, and producing a glamour which must eventually be dissipated by the pouring in of true and selfless love. From Glamour, A World Problem, pages 76 through 77. 8. One thought only will I give you to repeat whenever you are discouraged, tired, or weak. Quote, at the center of all love I stand, and naught can touch me here, and from that center I shall go forth to love and serve. Unquote. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, page 527. 9. Let love be the keynote in all relationships, for the power which must salvage the world is the precipitation of love. From The Externalization of the Hierarchy, page 333. 10. Love is not a sentiment or an emotion, nor is it desire or a selfish motive for right action in daily life. Love is the wielding of the force which guides the worlds and which leads to the integration, unity, and inclusiveness which impels deity itself to action. Love is a hard thing to cultivate. Such is the inherent selfishness of human nature. It is a difficult thing to apply to all conditions of life, and its expression will demand of you the utmost you have to give and the stamping out of your selfish personal activities. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, page 10. 11. Arrest each unloving thought. Stamp out each critical action and teach yourself to love all beings, not in theory, but in deed and in truth. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, page 475. 12. I would remind you in this time of trial that I, your Master, love and guard you, for your soul and my soul are one soul. Be not unduly disturbed. There is no light and dark to the soul, but only existence and love. Rest back on that. There is no separation, but only identification with the heart of all love. The more you love, the more love can reach out through you to others. The chains of love unite the world of men and the world of forms, and they constitute the great chain of the hierarchy. The spiritual effort you are asked to make is that of developing yourself into a vibrant and powerful center of that fundamental, universal love. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2, page 30. See also Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2, page 541.